blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Therefore, and anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And whoever says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. So if you're offering your gift in front of the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And don't swear by your head. You cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street corners to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be honored and seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, let your name be honored. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How could you say to your brother, oh, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First, take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Don't give dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The words of our King, Jesus the Messiah, spoken 2,000 years ago on a hillside in Palestine. Imagine if you were there. One of the first century commoners that heard this being spoken for the very first time. I mean, you're poor. You're marginalized. You're oppressed. You're desperate. You're just trying to survive. You got Roman soldiers just like ready to kill you if you step out of line. You're looking for guidance and inspiration from your religious leaders, and all you find is hypocrisy. And you're just like, God, please, please send someone to make this right. And then you hear this man talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he's saying things like this. Blessed are those who mourn. Like, I don't feel blessed. You say, wait, you can't serve both God and money and don't worry about your life. That is my life. I'm constantly worrying. I've been trying to get enough money to pay this or that tax and feed my family and just get through. And I'm constantly competing with everyone around me, trying to get resources that are scarce. And you're saying, don't be angry with someone. Love my enemies? What? Doesn't make any sense. And just imagine if you're there and you're taking this in. You know, I imagine a lot of people just heard it. It was the most foreign sounding thing that they've ever heard. The most backwards, illogical, like, where is this from? No one lives like that here where I live. Let's be honest, in our time and place, it's the same thing. And it sounded so foreign because it was from a different kingdom. This is citizenship of another kind, of another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And it's not heaven like some faraway place or far into the future as we sometimes associate with that word, heaven. But no, this is God's space. God's values breaking into our world here and now as Jesus is proclaiming it. And some people were probably just like, no, I'm done. I can't get behind that. I don't understand it. And they left. But other people, they heard it and they were like, this is brilliant. This is beautiful. And it's because it's so different from the world, because the world that they knew said, might makes right. Right, say, do it, whatever you got to do, just look out for yourself. And this was something totally different, unlike anything they had ever seen before. And they had the law of Moses, and Jesus talks about the law of Moses frequently. You know, the law that God gave his people a long time ago to help them succeed. And Jesus is saying, look, you guys, you missed the point. The whole point of the law, remember, is love the Lord your God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. And even your religious leaders have missed the point of what this is all about. That this was God's plan for humanity from the beginning. And now they're hearing it talked about. And it's like, yes, it makes sense. And so they stuck with Jesus. And he got disciples to go with him. And then they heard him speak, and then they heard him interact with others and live his life. In different interactions with all of these people, and I imagine they recounted the words, right? When he said, love your enemies. And then he's faced with his enemy, the Roman soldier, who wants Jesus to help him. What does he do? He loves his enemy. He helps him. They remember Jesus saying, do not resist an evil person. And then as an evil person is mistreating Jesus, he says, Father, forgive them. Like, this is it. This is the kingdom of God happening right now before our very eyes. You know, they remember him saying, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And then in every interaction, people who are just cast out of society, made to feel like they're nothing, like they don't matter, Jesus, he reaches out and he heals them. He walks with them. He eats with them. And they're seeing the kingdom being lived out every day in Jesus. And it's starting to make sense what it means to live like a citizen in that kingdom. And then, the culmination of everything, when Jesus gives everything and pays it all to open up this kingdom to all of us, and he dies so that that can be the case for us. And then by the Spirit of God, he is raised from the dead. Not even death itself can stop this kingdom from breaking into the world. And so you can imagine those first century disciples are just like, sign me up. I am in. I am all in. This is the most glorious, greatest gift, greatest treasure that I could possibly imagine. And they continue to be faithful to Jesus. They weren't perfect. But they were countercultural, they were groundbreaking, they stopped at nothing. Even death itself didn't stop them from living as citizens of this kingdom. And it's because of what they did that we're here today. Like we're continuing the Jesus movement, the kingdom of God that he brought and that they ushered into the ends of the earth. And for them, it wasn't like, oh man, this teaching is so hard. I mean, and for many of us, that's how it is. We're just like, man, this is the highest moral, ethical, spiritual standard in human history. Like, how am I supposed to live up to this? Okay, I'm just gonna use willpower. I'm just gonna grit my teeth. I'm gonna turn the other cheek today. No lust today. I'm no ego. I'm not gonna seek recognition. I'm not gonna hold any grudges ever. We know that that doesn't work. You can't just step up and make it happen. For them, it was because the Spirit of God being lived out in Jesus, bringing the kingdom in his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and that is what they joined and submitted to, and that's how they were transformed from the inside out, to the point where being part of this kingdom was a joy. And they remember the parable that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. And when you find it, it's just like, what else compares? Of course I'm gonna sell everything. This is the best thing ever. And so they were able to do it. And that, I believe, is the only way to be a true citizen of the kingdom of God, is to recognize the honor and the privilege that it is. We're about to take communion here. As we think about Jesus, as we think about these things for reflection, I want us to ask ourselves, do I still value the kingdom of God like the treasure in a field? You know, if something has gotten in the way, the kingdoms of this world pulling us apart, or the kingdom of ourself just wanting to take things into our own hands, how can we get rid of those things so that we can focus on the King? And to understand, you know, what are we building our foundation on? You know, many of us, we've already answered the call to be part of this kingdom. And maybe we've just gotten off track. Let's figure out how to have a renewed sense and remember just the incredible honor and privilege and treasure this kingdom is. And others of us, maybe we have never responded to the invitation to be part of this kingdom. And if that's the case, I hope and pray and I believe that God is putting something on your heart right now to join him in this incredible, incredible gift that is his kingdom here on earth and forever. You know, Jesus talked about the different foundations that we can build on. You know, he talked about the rock, the sand. If we put his words into practice, that's the key. It's not whether or not we've heard it. We've all heard it. What are we going to do with it? And I want us to understand that Jesus wants us to know that the storms of life are coming. And you look around, they're here. I mean, it's crazy right now in the world. But he told us how we can get through those storms. And he's inviting each and every one of us to be a part of it. I want to urge all of us, let us not ignore his call. Let us listen to the words and process what he said and see what he did and understand that nothing can compare. Nothing should ever come in the way of us saying, yes, Jesus, I submit. You are Lord and Savior and King, and I want to join you and be your student, your disciple, and join this everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's pray for communion. Jesus, we stand in awe of you. We cannot fully comprehend your greatness. Thank you so much for coming and living and dying, showing us what your kingdom is all about, how to be true citizens of it. Jesus, I pray that as we take the bread and the juice that represents your body and blood that was given for us so that we could be part of your kingdom. Help us to remember what a treasure it is. How beautiful, how brilliant, how amazing you are in your kingdom. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.